came without the Word of God this morning, came without a Bible, we'd like to give you one this morning to follow along. So raise your hand up and we will get you a Bible, get a Bible to you. Raise your hand high. Don't be ashamed. And now if you're a regular attender, you need to get your own Bible, and you need to bring your own Bible, obviously, and you need to put your name in it just in case you leave it here. We'll send it to the Philippines, yes, which we've been known to do, all right. I'm just, let me just say this to you. I'm a little slow in my draw this morning, but I wanted to say this to you. I want to start off on the right foot. This book is the most important thing in my life. That's about six of you. Okay? Nobody or no thing is more important than this book in my life. Thusly, I always know where it's at. Okay? Remember the old American Express commercial? Never leave home without it? Well, never leave home without it, beloved. Now, we're so blessed in this country. If you check my car, I've got one in my car. If you check my bedroom, I've got one in my bedroom. If you check my office, I got 18,000 of them there. And I've got one here, all right? But this is why I came this morning, okay? I love you, but I didn't come for you, okay? I came to hear from this book, all right? So we're going to look again at a word that we looked at last time we were together, and we found that word in the book of Isaiah. But I want you to look at something right before we go to Isaiah. I've often thought why people don't. I think this is a pretty good church. I just do. Now, I've been at this a long time. And, I mean, there's nothing pretty about the building. We know that. It's just a remodeled warehouse, and we kind of relish in that anymore. You know, but I think this is a pretty good church. God's given us good leadership over the years. Good folks, love the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've often wondered, Lord, we haven't been sitting on our hands for 38 years. We've been telling the story in this wonderful big city of New York, and New York City, Staten Island proper. And I've often thought, why aren't there more people just interested in First Bible Church and hearing the Word of God? And I think really it boils down to one thing that has two parts. We make very little of man. Matter of fact, we don't make hardly anything of man. We make everything of God. So when you come in here, we're not going to tickle your ears. I know that each and every one of us have some amount of civility in us. All that means is you didn't kill me yet this morning. That's all that means. Given the right opportunity, given the right time element, given the bad disposition that each and every one of us can have, it's no telling what we're capable of. Even as saved people, Why would Paul give us the principle of not biting and devouring one another? But when you come in here, from the moment we leave that prayer room, truth be told, there's one thing on. I know his mind and my mind, and we tried to, by the grace of God, because that's the way we were trained in this thing, and to put it out to our folks, God's church here, is that everything revolves around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you think you're good this morning. But compared to Jesus, you must not compare yourself to me. You compare yourself to me, you're going to win every time. How fair is that, huh? But when you and I compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we never win. That's why we, and you know what? And he took me anyhow. He loved me anyhow. I got teaching in the Institute. Thursday evening, still working our way through the survey of the Old Testament. It's supposed to be Old Testament, New Testament, but I'm so slow, it's never going to get into the New Testament. I'll just give you guys a heads up right now. And that's just life, okay? Got talking about, got ourselves into Ezekiel and Daniel a little bit, and we sang some hymns this morning, "Oh, I Want to See Him." And I said to our folks in the closing minutes of that class, I said, you know, I really enjoy a lively church service. I like a lively church service. I like people singing loud. I like people animated. I like people preaching and singing like we do around here. I like just smiles on faces. I like handshaking. I like amens. I like it. Come on now. Come on. I like that, man. I like when somebody just tells me to tick it into another gear, all right? I like that. But can I take you to Ezekiel? Chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. Oh, I want to see him. What would we do? What will we do when we see Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to believe that we will do exactly what Ezekiel did. Now, if you read the book of Isaiah, Isaiah reports, and we'll talk about this a little bit this morning. Isaiah writes about Jesus Christ as the Redeemer, and the word salvation appears a great many times, second only to the book of Psalms. We talked about that. The word Redeemer appears, and obviously after chapter 40, you've got a pretty good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in His first coming and His second coming. So Isaiah would really portray the Lord Jesus Christ, God as the Son. If you get into the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then his Lamentations, you'll find he's the weeping prophet, and he sees Jehovah, he sees the Father. All right. He sees the father having married Israel, and then because of her whoredoms and her idolatry, and she went with other gods, as if a wife would go with other men. And he actually divorces her, by the way. Read the book, all right? I didn't write the book, I just read it. But when we get to Ezekiel, you know what Ezekiel does? He transports you to the third heaven. He portrays God as the Holy Spirit. All right? Talks about the cherubim in chapter 1 and 2 around the throne and a few other chapters. Ezekiel 28 talks about Lucifer there, the anointed cherub that at one time covered. But all of a sudden you get to chapter 43, and this isn't my message, but I feel a need to do this morning, just in my own spirit. Chapter 43 is the description of the temple. This isn't so much an earthly temple, this is a heavenly temple. This is the eternal temple. This is God, all right? And he says in chapter 43, afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel. That was something you could see. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Chebar. Now I want you to notice what he did. And I fell upon my face. Can I take you to chapter 44? I like a lively church service. But when I look at the temple, and when God's presence, if you look at Ezekiel 44, and I'm just going to read verse 4 and then pray and then start actually the true message here. Verse number 4, I want to see him, look upon his face. What would I do? What would we do if the glory of God filled this building? And I want to tell you, we would do the same thing that Ezekiel did. If you look back at every revival, some of us like to read about the old revivals. And I'm going to say some things, and please don't take them out of the context or think you know what I'm going to say. But every revival that God was ever involved in, and you do not schedule a revival on July the 5th, 2013. That's not how this thing works. Every revival from this country, from Europe, from wherever, every time God got in the middle of something, you know what people did? They fell down on their faces before God. Ezekiel 44. And you want to know something? I'm old enough in the Lord not to look for amens. It's good to get amens. I'm not looking for amens this morning. I'm not. Don't give me those. I'm not looking for them. I'm not looking for amens. I'm looking for me, to stop and consider God. Just consider him this morning. Because when you get a good look at God, you know what you're going to do? Ezekiel 44, and look at verse 4. Then brought he me, Ezekiel, the way of the north gate before the house. I'm picking verses just to show you a point. And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And what did Ezekiel do? And I fell upon my face. Oh my. If God could fill this place on any given morning, on any given day, you know what we would do? We would fall down on our face. Worship. You'd worship laying on the floor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I need your help this morning. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you just take your word. Lord, I've got things on a piece of paper, notes. They do not a message make. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking, starting with this man, that you'd stop us just long enough this morning that we might consider Jesus Christ. Lord, again, the confusion of this world is all about us. A train's going to go by. There's just things that we've got our minds on this afternoon. Lord, I'm asking you to stop us and help us to consider Jesus Christ one more time. In His name we pray. Amen. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 1 with me. I am going to ask you to do something out of just respect to Jesus Christ, and that is please turn your cell phones off. I'm going to ask you to do that. I can work my way through distractions most of the time, but your neighbor probably can't. Always be considerate of the person beside you. Always. Because you never know how close they are to making a decision for Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know why, but this morning I've got this serious... I always have a serious side to me. I just the way I'm hardwired. But there's just something... I don't know. I just got overwhelmed with just the glory of God. Just you know, the fact that we get to meet in His name... The fact that I've got a Bible, oh my word, I got a Bible I can read. I have the mind of Christ in my hands. God let me know Him 43 years ago. If you ever just stop and think about that. Somebody says, I don't know where I would be. I know where I would be. I'd either be dead and in hell, or I'd be so full of disease, I would want to be dead in hell. There was no righteousness in Pat Eldeen, none whatsoever. And you weren't any better. I don't care how pretty you look this morning. We need to shake the lethargy and this thinking. We need to shake ourselves and get that thinking off of us. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We need to start taking a real good look at ourselves. Isaiah chapter 1. We went into this 2 weeks ago. And Isaiah is writing before the Babylonian captivity, before the exile of 606 B.C., subtracting the 70 years that they were going to be in exile as Judah, as the southern kingdom. And he says right from the beginning, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, capital Judah at that time, southern kingdom. In the days of Uzziah, these are kings that he reigned with. We talked about Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Four kings, three of them were good. One was bad. Ahaz was a bad king. And they were yet to go into captivity. But we capitalized on verse number 3, if I can just read up to it. He says, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished. And brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. He said, you have to just put words in there that, and I don't put words, but for the sake of explanation, it's like when somebody says, I have nourished and brought up children. He said, listen, I have loved you. I have put time into you. I have laid myself, I have, as Paul would later say, I spend and I am spent. God says, matter of fact, can I just take you to chapter 5? Go to chapter 5. There's sometimes I have to just shake myself. Because we all get into this, we get into the position and the mode sometimes of thinking about what you don't have. It was said this morning. But I want to tell you what I do have. I have life in Jesus Christ. I am no longer dead in trespasses and sins. I no longer wake up in the morning as I did when I went to bed with the burden of sin wrapped around my shoulders, wrapped around my neck. I am free in Christ Jesus. Sin no longer is my master. I have liberty, simply meaning I now have the wherewithal. I now have the Holy Spirit of God. I now have the capabilities to live godly. How dare I ever think about what I don't have? He says in chapter 5, look at verse, he's talking, and I said this, I've taught this several different times, so I don't remember where I said these things. But it's almost like a love song here. Matter of fact, if you read verse 1, sounds almost like the Song of Solomon. He says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. You read on, and the vineyard is Israel. Look at in verse number 2, he says, he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. I told our class at Thursday night, I'm more and more coming to the realization when I start to explain something to somebody, or when I'm marriage counseling, or when I'm just counseling anybody, or just talking, trying to get some, whatever it is, do you know where I always start anymore? Do you know where I have to start in my life? God, it was said this morning, God is good. Because if I move one scintilla away from God is good, then I think God owes me something. And God doesn't owe me anything. You might think that. May I say this to you this morning? If you think God owes you something, your thinking needs to change. Because God gave us His best. He gave us Himself. He decided to inhabit a body named Jesus. Amen. To be tempted in all fashions like as we are, yet without sin. He put Himself on the dirt roads of Jerusalem so that I could have a perfect high priest. Look at verse number 4. You know what God says here? God says, I did all this in your behalf. I've loved you with an amazing love. I've loved you when you didn't love me. I will never get over that. He says in verse number 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard? What more do you want out of... I just want to shake myself a little bit this morning. What more do we want out of God? What more do you want, really? For why won't you love Him? What more can He do to gain our love? He said to Israel, what more could have been done? God looked around heaven, and I'm sure God didn't do this, but He must have looked over one of the angels and said, Michael, what more could I have done? Gabe, what more could I have done? What more? And let me say this to all of us today. There's no more for God to do. He's done it all. All to Him I owe. sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let me tell you what. When I wake up in the morning anymore and I put these 63-year-old feet on the ground, I say, oh, glory to God. I really didn't want another day down here, Father. But if you're going to keep me here, let's make it a good one. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. God got to the point where he said, what more could I have done? Can I just flip you back to, go back to chapter 1 and in verse number 3. We made a few points on the word consider. Because in verse number 3, he said, the ox knoweth his owner. Excuse me. The ox knoweth his owner. And the ass, his master's crib. These brute beasts of burdens. The ox knows his own owner. And the ass, the owner of the crib, his master's crib. But he came to the conclusion, Isaiah, God says through Isaiah, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Why'd you come to church this morning? I'm glad you're here. We want you here. Don't you ever misunderstand us. Did you come to just sing? Did you come to fellowship? All good. Did you come just to hear another message that one of us labored over for hours upon hours? On knees and just meditating and asking, begging God, Lord, just tell me what to say this morning so that you have a voice in this place this morning? Is it just for another message? Because if that be the case, then we are no different than Israel. They did not consider. You know why God put us here? He wants us to consider some things. He wants us to consider. He wants us to think about some things carefully. He wants us to get serious. Doesn't mean we don't have fun. Doesn't mean we don't enjoy life. Good night. I enjoy life. I enjoy every aspect of it. There's things in all of our lives that you just wish could pass by very quickly. But you want to know something? It's time to get serious. I'm not saying we're not serious, but just perhaps I'm going to preach to myself this morning. I'd hate to get up to the judgment seat of Christ and the Savior look down at me and say, well, Brother Pat, you just really didn't, you weren't very serious about me. You know, you did a whole bunch of stuff down there at 6200 Amboy Road for a lot of years, but they really weren't like Mary. They were Martha stuff. Now, the Martha stuff's important. Somebody's got to empty garbage cans. But you better do it to the glory of God. You better not do it because doesn't anybody empty the garbage cans around here? Never forget, down in North Carolina, Pastor Mike Edwards would get in the pulpit, a young pastor, get in the pulpit, and he'd say, now folks, listen to me. I don't make a habit of going to the women's bathroom. So I don't know if the women's bathroom is out of toilet paper or not. He said, ladies, I'm going to tell you where the closet is at. If you walk into the bathroom and you don't find toilet paper, ladies, then you walk over to the closet and you get yourself a roll of toilet paper and Piedmont Baptist Church will go right on ticking, all right? But you know what? I don't want to get at the judgment seat of Christ and have not considered Jesus Christ. I just want to look at this word. I was going to go through this in a different direction, but the time won't allow it, so that's okay. I want you to look at verse number 18 of chapter Isaiah chapter 1. Because he's told Israel, they don't know. They're not considering anymore. They're not considering. But you know what he says? Every once in a while you get what I call a gold standard verse that you can just take right out of where it's at, the context. Not always a wise thing to do, but sometimes verses will just stand on their own. And Isaiah 1:18. Do you know why we do what we do here? Isaiah 1:18 is the reason. He says, come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, Israel, you're in a bad way. You're in a bad place. You're not considering me anymore. And they were still going through religious motions. But then he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to reason with you. Now, here's what I want you to see when God says he wants to reason with us. Some of us, maybe in this room, think that God reasoning with us is us reasoning with God. No. He said, let us reason together. Many times our Christianity devolves into a debate where we think we have the position. And the whole thing of debating, the act of disputing over differing opinions. So we get to the point many times where instead of letting God reason with us, we start to debate with God. We read something, and let me just say this. I'm going to throw some things out this morning. It's in my mind, on my heart. Just because you believe that God inspired and preserved his words in a King James version, that does not necessarily make you a Bible believer. I know we say that. But the very meaning of what we just said, Bible believer, believing what the Bible says. Because I know for sure there's some of us in this place who really don't believe what the book says. And there are some parts that I don't really like. All right? So just because I pat myself on the back, and I want you to believe, we want you to believe, that God inspired and preserved his words in this King James Bible because it's proven itself to be true. But just because you take that position does not necessarily make you a Bible believer. To be a Bible believer means you got to believe what the book says. And you've got to do something. You've got to consider it. You've got to do something with it. Okay. All right. Glory to God. Go to Isaiah 58. Go to Isaiah 58. You say you're... Give me some proof on this. I'm glad you asked that question. Because you know what Israel began to do? She began to debate with God. She began to, instead of letting God reason with her and thusly reason together, she began to debate. Now, look at Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Hope they're with me. I want you to see it. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Now watch what they're doing. Now, he has just said in verse number 1, you raise your voice like a trumpet, and you show my people their transgressions in the house of Jacob, that's his fleshly name, that's his natural name, their sins. But look at verse 2. Yeah, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching. He just said they were full of sin. And yet he says they take delight in approaching to me. Now, look at, and I'll get down to the verse I want here. Look at verses 3 and 4. Wherefore have we fasted? Now they're fasting. So they're depriving themselves of something. Say they, and thou seest not. So it says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. So they were concerned about God seeing them fast. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, now watch this, behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure. Exact all your labors. I come from a background where everything was counted. And that's why I just sometimes have a little bit of a problem with that. That's just me. We're not setting policy here this morning. But I come from a background where everything was counted. Nickels, noses, and numbers. That was the entire Christianity that I grew up in. Everything was counted. Everything. If you moved, if you didn't move, you got counted. Okay. Now look what verse 4 4 says. And sometimes they counted people twice. I know they did. Because they didn't reach the goal that they had set for themselves. So some people got counted twice. That's the Christianity I grew up in. I got saved in that, by the way. Thank God for it. But every once in a while, that kind of stuff just, it reminds me of something that I left. All right. Look at verse number 5. Is it such a fast? Okay, let me read 4. Excuse me. 4. So they're exacting their labors. He says in 4, behold, ye fast. Now watch this. Ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. They had got themselves into a position where they weren't letting God reason with them anymore. They decided that they were going to serve God. They were going to do what they always did. But they were going to get into this position of debate. And this is why God rose up the prophets, major, minor, however you choose to categorize them. He gave them judges. He gave them prophets. He gave them in the New Testament teaching elders and pastors. But the entire process that we go through this morning is to get us to consider. Now watch this. I'm just going to get right into this. Would you look at Psalm chapter 8 and verse number 3? I want to look at some things to consider because time is going to get away from us. Go to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. David is the writer here, and he says, O Lord, our Lord. Now, you know this, but when you see all caps, that's Jehovah the Father. When you see capital L, small O-R-D, it's reference to the Son. It's just one of those little clues that God gives us. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Boy, it was said this morning, and it was said well. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. I can't wait until all the earth. And you know what? Even when Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David, all the earth won't like giving him credit to the name. Okay. You do know that in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, not everybody's going to love him. But no longer will he be the suffering lamb. He will be the reigning regent at that time. He'll be the king. He'll have a rod of iron. And however it works out, your knee will bow. Okay. So let me just say this to you right this morning, all right? If you're not saved here today, you need to bow your knee to Jesus Christ. If you are saved here today, you need to bow your knee to Jesus Christ. Because this whole thing of this life working, listen to me, this entire thing of this life working properly is you bowing your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you don't like that message. And do you know what? Do you know what that means? That means I have to be a Bible believer. Oh, I believe the King James. No, way beyond that. Just because you got the King James book in your Bible in your hands this morning, that does not make you a Bible believer. When you take these words and begin to appropriate them into your life, every aspect of your life, into your spirit, into your soul, and into your body. We made a little comment even the last time I was in the pulpit. Do you know what the one word that Americans hate? Submit. We hate that word. I almost don't want to look at you face to face when I say that word. We don't want to submit to God. We don't submit to our employers. God knows we don't submit to each other as husbands and wives. And then you look at me like I just crawled out from under some rock. But you know what? You're either going to be a Bible believer or you're not. And you know what? You know why we go to the lengths that we go around here? So we consider Jesus Christ. Now, he considers it with his benevolent, sweet personality. My partner. I don't have that benevolent, sweet personality, but the bottom line's the same. If you know the Sunday I'm going to be in the pulpit, I'll give you a heads up. When I'm going to be in the pulpit, you don't want to be here, just don't come. I'll keep track, though. Don't worry about it. I'm part Italian. I got a black book with names in it. It's good to laugh. It's good to laugh. But you know what? We need to consider. Look what it says there. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now look at verse 3. Look at verse 4, excuse me. What is man? Oh, I need to read verse 3, I'm sorry. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, when I just stop and look at your creation, do you know what I say to myself, God? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man. Actually, this is about the Lord Jesus, that thou visitest him. I look around and say, you want to know something? Those stars obey you. Those stars love you. The creation, it groans and travail. It groans. It's a sin curse now. And even in that, it loves God. Do you know who has a problem with loving God? Us. Man. And the older I get, I'm scratching my head because I get to look back and I get to say, do you realize how good God has been to you? Just stop and consider. Stop and consider. And I guarantee you, it will change the way you think. It will change the way you feel. It will change the way you love if you just stop and consider Jesus Christ. You know what can I take you to Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 29, thinking about this. What is man that thou art mindful of him? So if I was going to give you something in the first consider, what do you consider first? I'm going to consider that God's mindful of man. Didn't have to be. God made a conscious choice. I want you to go to Jeremiah 29:11. Israel had gotten to, firstly, God didn't have to put that cherubim at the gate of the garden with a flaming sword. He could have just ended it right there. God chose to let this thing play out. God chose to redeem something that was broken. I don't know where you're at in your life, really. But if the Lord Jesus Christ has given you a second chance at anything, you better fall prostrate on the floor and say, "Oh my God, I am thankful for your goodness."
Amen.
To let man have a second chance, and then a third, fourth, keep counting, keep counting, keep counting. Because I'm getting old enough as this thing right now to look in the mirror without these glasses and to say, "You are one worthless piece of flesh." Even on your best day, you don't measure up to anybody. And God lets me handle His word? Are you kidding me? God lets me speak His name? God lets me sing about Him? God lets me fellowship with my brothers and my sisters? God lets me help Him pastor this work? Or who's kidding who? There's not a lot of good that comes with age. But there's a few. I can tell you one good thing. As a saved old man, I'm getting a real clear vision of God. And I'm getting a better vision of myself. And that makes me see God real clearly. Real clearly. Can I take you to Jeremiah chapter 29? They're going into captivity. This is one of the most defining, if not the most defining verse to explain the number of years. It said just plainly. Look at 29:10. What's the first thing I'm going to consider? And people, our beloved church, listen to me. This is what we need to consider. We need to consider that God is mindful of man. God is good. 29:10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." He was going to cause harm to them only for a short period of time. But look at verse 11. It's often quoted by believers. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Lord Jesus Christ thinks good toward His sons and His daughters. Can I take you to Philippians chapter 2? As our time continues to move, we'll move more quickly. Go to Philippians. God is mindful of man. He delights in mercy. If God permits you to have a second chance in anything, you need His goodness to overwhelm you. You need to start from the fact of every aspect of life that God has been good to me. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. But the fact that God is mindful of man, what does God desire of me? God desires of me that I be mindful of Him. That I would consider Him. Paul in Hebrews would talk about, consider Him, about the contradiction of sinners. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 12. This entire thing that we do here called church is so you and I consider Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that if we would consider Him more, the glory of God would fill this place, and you and I, you'd come in here, and I'm not talking about the Pentecostals who get slain in the spirit or barking dog. I'm not talking about that. But as Ezekiel, when he got into the presence of God and saw His glory, he could only do one thing, and that was fall down on the ground. He was just overwhelmed. Could you do anything else? I know heaven probably have a lot of shouting, singing, but there's something about God's glory. Let me tell you what, if it happens now, and I say this often, there are some times when our singers sing in this place, there are some times I don't sing, and I love to sing, but there are some times I don't sing. I want to hear your voices. Do you know why? Because you're transporting me to the third heaven. And I'm saying to myself, oh God, listen to them sing. You realize what it's going to be like in heaven when voices aren't bound by sin anymore and voices are purified, totally ordained of God, anointed. If every once in a while I get transported to the third heaven, if you didn't think I was taking a heart attack, I would have got on my hands and knees this morning. But I didn't do it because some of you would think one of the stents wasn't working and somebody would want to resuscitate me and I'd have to spit on you or something like that. You know, I don't want you kissing me, especially some of you men, okay? You know, I got one woman I kiss in this place, all right? And I like to kiss her, so, all right? I like to kiss her on the kisser. It's go to Philippians chapter 2 with me. go to Philippians chapter 2. Mindful. God desires for man to be mindful of Him. What kind of a mind should I have? What should I consider? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Oh, we all want to be somebody. Jesus Christ made Himself of no reputation. This is not about reputation. This is about testimony. This is not a place of honor. This is a place of loving and service. Honor will come. Honor will come. Glory will come. But made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, look what He did. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He submitted Himself to His Father. Submitted. And you and I have a problem with submission? Jesus didn't have a problem with it. Matter of fact, when he was a boy, he said he grew in stature, and I forget exactly how it's worded, but in respect of God and men, all right? It's not the right word. You put the right word in, all right? He had a testimony with God and men. How about another one? Can I take you to Luke chapter? Can I take you to Luke chapter 12? First thing God wants us to consider, go to Luke chapter 12. First thing God wants us to consider is the fact that God is mindful of us. He wants us to be mindful of Him. Luke chapter 12. Around verse 16 is the parable of the rich man. The Bible calls him a fool because he died without Jesus Christ. And he just decided that he was successful, and verse number 17, he didn't have any room in his barns. Verse 18, he wanted to know what he was going to do, and so he talks to himself, and he just decides he's going to pull down his barns, and he's going to build bigger, greater. Get to verse 19, and he says, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast made much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Epicurean philosophy. 20 says, "But God said unto him, thou fool." That doesn't mean this man wasn't intelligent. Doesn't mean he wasn't a good businessman. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God looked at this man and all of his wealth and said, "You're a fool." You know why? He didn't stop to consider. And then you know what God does? God tells us about two very insignificant things. Look at verse 22, same chapter. He talks about in 21 about laying up treasure for himself and not being rich toward God. Then he says in verse 24, if I can just jump you down there, he tells us to consider two things, ravens and lilies. And what we're going to read is, firstly, God said, I want you to be mindful of something. I want you to consider something. Be mindful that I'm mindful of you. But here's another thing. I want you to be mindful that God cares for His own. God's a good father. Good father. I had a good daddy. I had a good dad. Simple man, plain. Didn't teach me much about God, but he taught me a great deal about life. He gave me a work ethic that has carried me to today. That you just work hard, you don't complain. I almost wanted to say another word. You don't complain. Yeah, some of you are laughing because you know the word. You don't complain, but you have a good work ethic. You get up early and you work late. And you work for a man as if you own the business yourself. And you don't complain about your wages. You just work hard. That's what I grew up on. Just work hard. It's an amazing thing about people who want to work hard. Somehow, then they come to know Christ. You know what God does? God somehow honors them in things when they don't deserve it at all. He says in verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They're not much good. They're not doing anything. Neither have storehouse nor barn. They don't have any plenty. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Oh, I wish I could do that. I really do. Not this way. This way. This way's easy. This way's hard. If ye then, being not able to do the things which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. They're not worth anything. They're not doing anything. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know what? I want to say something to you. I am a rich man today. And it's got nothing to do with dollars and cents. God took care of ravens and lilies. You think He's not going to take care of you? You think the thing that He bought, that He created, purchased, and redeemed, you think for Him to put that much value on something, He wouldn't take care of you? But you know what we do? We want to live in two worlds. We want to live in God's world, and we want to live in the other world. And you can't live in both worlds, beloved. I'm going to go back to my premise. Just because you got a King James Bible in your hand does not necessarily make you a Bible believer. That's the best of starts. But you want to know something? Every time I fretted and worried and got concerned that God was not going to take care of me, I just moved away from being a Bible believer. O ye of little faith. Here's another one. Can I take you to Matthew chapter 7? I have to consider that God is mindful of me. I have to consider that God cares for His own. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Now, I fear sometimes when we go into Matthew or Acts or Hebrews that we might close our mind to the principles that are being taught. We know it's a kingdom book. We know where it fits. But there are a lot of principles in these kingdom books that are just absolutely necessary for today. Necessary. And look at Matthew 7, verses, I'll read 1 through 5. One through 5. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." Now here's the principle. "And why beholdest thou the mote?" Now I'm going to just stop there. I actually looked up the word because I think I had a wrong idea. So I looked it up again. Do you know a moat is it's not the water around the castle. Okay. This is a very small, insignificant thing. That's the definition of moat. Something very, very small. "So I'm going to behold thou the mote," that small thing, "that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye." You see these things up here? They're covered, all right? If all this was stripped off, you know what you would have? You'd have a beam, I've seen them raw, 1 foot by about 18 inches. That's what's holding this thing up. These gigantic beams. There used to be wooden beams here. They were this thick and that thick. We took them out and put steel in. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, you're beholding the mote, the small thing in your brother's eye, but you're not considering you've got this big beam in your own eye. You know what that tells me? I can't see properly because I've got this big, gigantic beam. I'm almost sticking myself with my pen. I've got this big beam in my own eye. You know what the old timers used to say? I grew up on this. Never forget, my mother said it. Her mom probably said it. Sweep your own porch, not your neighbor's. There's things we have to deal with around here. And when we believe and pray about it and the time is correct, we deal with things. And if somebody has offended somebody and it's gotten to the point where it's harmed a family or a whole church, it needs to be dealt with and somebody needs to just apologize, ask forgiveness. But you know what we do many times? We hang on to something real small in your eye when I've got this big beam and I can't see clearly. And God says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? You know what I see here? Always examine yourself first. Can I take you quickly to Galatians? I have to start with me. I must examine myself first. I will never forget Fran Kruppe, Psalm 119, I think it's 165. We used to go to drive her to meetings or go over in the city and just love being around her as all of us did. But she had some verses that she just really would repeat over and over and over again. Psalm 119, 165. I think it's 165. If it's not, I apologize. Great peace have they that love thy law. That's a Bible believer. And nothing shall offend them. Yeah, but you don't know what that boy did to me. You know, we can all go there sooner or later. I've got some folks that I'm still looking for an apology from them. You know what? I know there's some folks that are looking for an apology from me. It's always a two-way street. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That woman lived by that. Look at Galatians 6:1. Brethren, are you there with me? I want you to see it. We're going to quit. This is the last one. I got one more point, but we're not going to do it because we've stayed too long. Okay, and I know from Pastor Mel teaching me, he told me, listen, boy, when your people get numb on one end, they will get dumb on the other end. Now, him saying that was like calling, what is that, the kettle black, or how's that go? Here's a guy who preached 3 hours at the drop of a hat, and just, you know, everybody's sleeping out there. He's still preaching. It's like, Mel, give us a break. Say amen, will you, brother? I got the point. Let us go home. I'm hungry. No. Last verse. Good to laugh. Because I'm way too serious most of the time, and I got into a serious mode this morning. Good to laugh. I like to laugh. I need my blood pressure corrected. It's good to laugh, all right? Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, condemn him, throw stones at him, knock him to the ground, put your boot on his throat. You get the drift? That's not what the Bible says. You get the drift? Okay. I think I went far enough there for you to get the drift, all right? If brethren, that's you and I, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, I'd like to think I am, like to think, like to hope, like to believe. But here's the mark of a spiritual man. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's not a one of us that are above any given sin in this place. Amen. Given the right time and the right opportunity, we can all devolve into the devil. Do we want to? No. But you want to know something? Those of us who are spiritual, you know what our job is here? Let's bring some health to the congregation. Okay. Let's bring some life in here. Okay. The person knows they made a mistake. The person knows it. Don't kid yourself. They know it. But you know what? Please, just bear with me a minute. I'm gonna use Mikey because Mikey's my buddy. All right. We can condemn each other in the drop of a hat. But you know what's going to get this man if he gets into sin? You know what's going to help him, Mikey? Let's get up one more time. Let's get up one more time. Let's just get up. Remember what Jesus said to the woman? Go and sin no more. Get up. Don't do it again. But what if a man does it again? Get up. Get up. Get up. Peter would say, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Seven? Jesus looked around and said, seven? He's not been paying attention. Seven. I can see the Savior. You have to see. I'm sure he didn't do that, but I'd look around and say, what the heck? Hasn't he been listening? Seven times 70.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's make this place so that the glory of God can fill it. All right. Let's bow our heads.